It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing Way. The Refreshing Way. The Refreshing Way. The Refreshing Way.
Amen. God is good. It's time for us to wish you a happy new week. Happy new week, everybody. And it's time for us to have prayer at this time. My wife, Landrinda, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Good morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your loving watch care throughout the night. We thank you for giving us another opportunity to be able to serve you on this day of creation. And now as we open up your word, we pray that your spirit will come and teach us the things we need to know as you anoint the words of our pastor and fill him with your spirit. Help us, Lord, always to grow in grace and wisdom as we draw close to you. These things are prayed and asked in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. At this time, we'll have our opening song. It's about time for the coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about
Amen. It is about time, brothers and sisters. We're going to be talking about dreams, okay? And we're going to learn all about dreams in the Bible and what dreams mean and the principles regarding dreams in the Bible. And so I'm excited to share this with you. I want to just get a couple things in place before I do. All right, praise God. I found it. And we are going to do one thing that's of a technical nature. And then we'll be ready. All right, praise God. And this will probably take all of our time, and therefore we will make this, it's worship and wellness. It's not going to be a wellness segment of this broadcast today. Glad that you're with us this morning, brothers and sisters. We know a lot of times on a Sunday we might not have as many, but we thank God for those of you who have joined us. Let's pray at this time. Father, as we begin this message about dreams, we pray that you bless us and help us to understand that you teach, you have teachings on every subject in the Bible, every pertinent subject in the Bible, and that you want to teach us today about dreams. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, our first principle that we're going to go over, brothers and sisters, is dreams were given to prophets. Now, that's not to say that that's the only people God gives dreams to, but it is to say that one of the characteristics of a prophet is that they would receive dreams and visions, but dreams are included. So we're going to Numbers chapter 12. Verses 1 through 8, and the Bible says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman, and they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken by us also? And the Lord heard it." Now, when you study this out in the spirit of prophecy, they really didn't have a problem with the race of Moses' wife. She was of a darker hue, but what was happening was Moses was getting all this attention. Little brother Moses was getting all this attention, and they weren't getting as much attention, and they got a little jealous because all this attention was going to Moses. And so they used that as a pretext, really, to show their discontent toward this arrangement where God was giving, allowing Moses to have all this attention. But you see, being in leadership, that could have been devastating to the church. So let's see what God did. "Now the man Moses was very meek." That's why, you see, God could choose him and use him. "Above all the men which were upon the face of all the earth, And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came. They both came forth, and he said, Hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. So there you have it. One of the characteristics of a prophet was that God spoke to them in dreams and visions. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody who gets a dream or a vision is a prophet. It's just saying that's the primary method that God uses to give messages to the prophets. "My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" So, brothers and sisters, one of the principles that we can have is that when there is a prophet, God uses dreams and visions to speak to the prophet. Moses was a little different from that because he just heard God's voice mouth to mouth, and they just spoke mouth to mouth, okay? Now, it's very interesting because God predicted that Jesus would come, but he called Jesus a prophet in the verse we're about to read, but he would be after the order of Moses, which is the similar to the concept of being a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You see, Jesus was different than the prophets. Of course, he was the divine Son of God, but he also spoke prophetic things. So notice what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 18, 15, and 18. The Lord thy God, this is Moses talking, will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me. Moses is talking. Unto him shall you hearken. But then he quotes God, and in 18, God is talking. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. So, God is drawing a difference between Jesus and the prophets and Moses and the prophets. Now, but he called Jesus a prophet. He said, I will raise up a prophet like unto you. Moses said, he's going to raise up a prophet like unto me. Okay? So, Moses was a prophet, but he is separated from the traditional prophets because of the method of communication between him and God. God would speak to him like I'm talking to you and you talking back to me. And so that's what we learned from that. So that's why you have verses like Luke 16:29, where in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, those of you who may not know this, there, you don't go to heaven when you die immediately. You don't go to hell when you die immediately. It was a parable. And parables were fictitious stories that had a moral lesson. And in the story, the rich man died and he was evil and went to hell. Lazarus was righteous but poor. He went to heaven. He is pictured in the parable laying in Abraham's bosom. And then the rich man on fire is asking that he be sit down to dip his finger in some water and cool his tongue because he's being tormented in all these flames. And Abraham says, we can't come down to you. You can't come up to us. There's a great gap between us. And he said, okay, well, let him be raised from the dead and let him go to my family and get them converted so they won't end up where I am. And the answer that Abraham gave us was that they have Moses and the prophet, okay? And the rich man says in hell, no, but if somebody was raised from the dead, if there was some great manifestation of supernatural power, in other words, then they'll believe, okay? And the punchline of the verse is verse 29, and Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear him. That's not actually the final punchline. Let me just go to there, Luke chapter 16, and notice what it says. It says in verse 31, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Okay? So you see scriptures like this. You'll see some scriptures that say the law and the prophets, Moses and the prophets. Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and that Pentateuch, that those five books are referred to as the law sometimes, okay, because God's laws and principles were put within there. Of course, the Ten Commandments was written with the finger of God. It's also in those books. And so, my brothers and sisters, now you understand in the Bible why God separates Moses from the prophets when it talks about the Bible. So when it says we have Moses and the prophets, Abraham was basically saying they have the Bible. They have the Bible. They should just listen to the Bible. They don't need a supernatural manifestation. And that's a powerful principle, brothers and sisters. We have the Bible, but people are looking for somebody speaking in tongues. We have the Bible, but we're looking for some great manifestation of healing and slaying in the spirit. We have the Bible, but we're looking for some grand exhibition at a mega church. You see, we have the Bible. Oh, we have the Bible, but we want to have drums and club-like instruments in the church. You see, we have the Bible, friends, and that's all we need is the Bible. We don't need these manifestations that are false manifestations of the Holy Spirit and his presence with the church. All right. So what does that lesson teach us? That dreams primarily were given to prophets. And that's why you see that Moses and Jesus were prophets, but they were more than prophets because they got communication sometimes mouth to mouth. Next principle. Dreams are to be subordinate to God's word. Okay? So if you have a dream and it tells you to do something, okay, well, I got a dream. I must be supposed to do it. No, if it disagrees with God's word is takes precedent. Watch this. The prophet, this is Deuteronomy 23:28. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat? So first he mentioned dreams, then he mentioned word, then he mentioned chaff, then he mentioned wheat. You know the scripture in the Bible that speaks about the chaff which the wind driveth away? That was that useless part. Once the plant has fully matured and the grain of the wheat has fully matured, then the chaff just falls off and just kind of blows away in the wind, brothers and sisters. And so a dream compared to God's word is chaff to the wheat, okay? So that teaches, friends, that we aren't to trust in dreams if it goes against God's word. But that doesn't mean that God does not give dreams, because he does give dreams. But the devil can give you a dream. That's the point. The devil can give you a dream. So when you hear or have a dream, test it by the word. Ask God, Lord, did you send this dream? And if you did, what does it mean? And therefore, you look at things in that way, brothers and sisters, and say, Lord, what are you trying to tell me in this dream? Or are you speaking? Was this you? Or did I have too many potato chips last night? All right? We need to understand that when there is a dream, we should test it by the word. Now, I'm going to give you a practical application. I have some good friends. They're involved in, they're good people, you know. They're involved in a deception called Davidian Adventism, okay? Some people call it Shepherd's Rod. And basically, a man named Victor Hautef, who was a false prophet, and I can prove it, and I'll prove it today. He was a false prophet back in the 50s, and he basically rose up with messages of warning to the Seventh-day Adventist Church that they were supposed to accept his message, and that, you know, he was showing how they had, you know, started going away from the truths and principles and standards and so on and so forth, and that part is true. But what it is that movement basically says, we're not supposed to go out and reach the world anymore. We're supposed to clean up the church first, and that they believe that Ezekiel 9 was a literal slaughter of Adventists, represents a literal slaughter of Adventists. Now, you don't have to be afraid of somebody that is a shepherd's rod. I'm not, you know, the majority of the shepherd's rod believe that the angel of the Lord does the slaughtering. Now, there was a group, and you might remember Waco, okay? Well, that group believed that they would be used as human instruments to do the slaughtering. Okay, that's why they were gun traders. Now, I'm not saying I'm not against guns, brothers and sisters. The Bible isn't against guns. Peter used the sword at the wrong time, but he had one, and Jesus never condemned him for having it. As a matter of fact, Jesus said you should sell some of your clothing and buy a sword in one of his scriptures that he had given. So I'm not saying it's wrong to have a weapon for self-defense. But the bottom line is, I just don't think if you're in present truth, you're going to be a, you know, major gun trader. That's just what that's my humble opinion. I'm talking about being a major gun trader, and you're in present truth. Okay. So That being said, brothers and sisters, that is my opinion. I'm not saying I have a scripture for that, but I am going to say that's what they did at Waco. They were major gun traders. They had all kinds of weapons. They had a major arsenal, and they had a spiritual reason for it, okay? Now, I believe that although I do not agree with what the government did, because I saw some footage that was not shown to the American people, and that footage showed that they actually were shooting fire in the building. So I do not believe that the common narrative that they set themselves on fire is true. I don't believe that. But nonetheless, that's neither here nor there. The point being made is I do believe because they walked outside of God's will that God gave us a little more time, because had they gone to the general conference and opened fire, it would have made the work of self-supporting laborers very hard. Anybody that was considered by the establishment as being somewhat outside or self-supporting or whatever the case might be, that would have been used as a pretext to shut the work down under the pretext that everybody that's not in the establishment is trying to shoot everybody up. And so I believe the Lord in his mercy allowed his work to move forward. I don't agree with what either side did in that conflict. I don't agree with how the government handled it, and I don't agree with how the Waco people handled it. But nonetheless, I do believe that God in his mercy allowed them not to open fire at a later time on the general conference, so that thinking they were the instruments of slaughter, so that God's work might move forward. Okay. Now, that being said, we were talking about this issue of Houtis and the shepherd's rod. So, again, most people in Davidian Adventism do not believe that they're going to slaughter other Adventists. That's not the case. And I believe that the majority who did believe that are dead. They were in Waco, okay? But they were part of that movement. So there's different factions of that movement, okay? But one faction is still, there's an underlying thread. We're not supposed to go out and reach the world and spread the gospel. We're supposed to clean up the Adventist church first. And so they believe in Ezekiel 9 that there's going to be this slaughter. So it's a big old waste of time, because the world is dying and we're still trying, and they're still trying to come into churches and pass out tracts and get you to study with them and believe their movement and their message. And they believe Jesus is going to be David, literal David, is going to be resurrected over in Jerusalem, and they're all going to be kind of like beamed up over there. And there's just different things that they believe based on Houtif came up with these interpretations of the Old Testament prophets, okay? Some of the minor prophets gave different prophecies, and Houtif gave his interpretation of those. So when they accept the message, they're accepting the words of a man who called himself a prophet. Well, guess what? Houtif claimed that he was going to be translated. Now, brothers and sisters, in the Bible, it says, let me see. Let me just see here if I have this principle a little bit later in our message here. And I do not. So I need to add this principle. So when a prophet tells you that he's had a dream, remember we were talking about dreams are subordinate to the word of God. So all this is under the category of dreams are subordinate to the word of God. So if you go to Jeremiah chapter 23, okay, let me just go there because there's some more scripture that we need to go to. Jeremiah chapter 23. Now I read to you verse 28 about it being the chaff to the wheat, right? But the Bible also says, let me find it. Okay, I'm going to have to find it another way. All right. I'll tell you what it says in paraphrase, but it basically says that in the Bible, it says that if a prophet gives a prediction and it doesn't come to pass, he's not a true prophet. Okay, I got to find this way. Sorry. All right, now I can find it. Yeah. I can't find it. I thought I was going to be able to find it, but the Bible tells us, I thought it was, is it Jeremiah 18:22? Let me check. I'll look one more place. One more place, brothers and sisters. And if it's not there, we just won't be able to give you that scripture right now. I thought I knew where it was, and I apologize. But the Bible does teach it. It doesn't look like I'm finding it. But the Bible says very clearly that if a prophet hath a dream and tells you a dream and it doesn't come to pass, it says, be not afraid of him. I thought it was also in Jeremiah chapter 28 or in chapter 23. But anyway, it tells you clearly, don't be afraid of him. In other words, that teaches us that if somebody claims to be a prophet and they give you a prophecy, an actual prophecy that is from the Lord, they say, and it does not come to pass, God has told us, do not be afraid of him, meaning they're not speaking from me. They're a false prophet. Well, Houtif said that he was going to be translated. As a matter of fact, he married a much younger woman, and there's counsel against that in the spirit of prophecy. And so some of the people were sharing with him the counsel, and his rebuke to them was, you all don't even understand our shepherd's rod message. We're all going to be translated, okay? Well, he wasn't. He died. And so that would show you that he's supposed to be a false prophet if you understand that principle, okay? So, because remember, what are we talking about? How God's word is more important than the dream, even the dream of a prophet. And so when I shared that with my friends that were Davidian Adventists, this is what they did. They found a statement in the spirit of prophecy about the death of Sister Bonfoy. And in that situation, there was a meeting. In that scenario, there was a meeting. And Ellen White got a dream. And in that dream, she saw all the people in the meeting. And in that dream, she saw that some would die. And her words were, they would be food for worms. Some would be translated. And, of course, some would be lost. All right? And so when she awakened from the dream, she said, you know, I got this dream. And the dream showed that some in this group would be saved, some would be lost, some would be translated. She didn't say, this is what it means. So-and-so is going to be saved, or some of these people are going to be translated. She just said, that's the dream I had. You see the difference? I can have a dream. See, we're going to learn this in our study, that sometimes dreams are symbolic. You don't take it literally. So she is not guilty, as Houtif is, of prophesying something that was not true because she did not tell what the dream meant. She simply recounted, I had a dream last night. Then later, she said, when she saw that Sister Bonfoy, who had no illness, no apparent illness, just died suddenly, she said maybe that was not, she didn't say, God was preparing her through that dream to be ready to lose some of her friends. And it was probably just a symbolic message. Friends, you know, we can be here together today, but some of us may not be here tomorrow. We should all live today as though it's our last, or live these days as though tomorrow is not promised. That means give your all to God, my friend, today. Tomorrow, you don't know what may happen tomorrow. And so I'm just sharing that with you. Some of you may know people that are shepherd's rod, and I'm telling you, their prophet claimed to be translated, and their defense is the story about Sister Bonfoy, and that is not a violation because Ellen White did not say, Sister Bonfoy is going to die, and some of these people will be translated. She didn't say that. She said, I had an interesting dream, so to speak. I'm paraphrasing, and this is what happened in my dream. Sometimes dreams are symbolic. And so, my brothers and sisters, what are we saying? When a person has a dream, that dream is always to be subordinate to God's word. Therefore, even if a prophet has a dream and tells you something that is against God's word, friends, you always go with God's word. And if the prophet is going against God's word, that's a false prophet. If that prophet even tells you something and it does not come to pass, okay, that is proof that they are a false prophet. And maybe before the this is over, I'll find that scripture for you. It is in Jeremiah. And I thought it was in that same chapter with Jeremiah 23. I'm just so intrigued by this. If y'all don't mind, I'm going to look one more time in Jeremiah 23. If you don't mind, I'm going to look one more time. Okay, Maria sent me a text. Okay, very good. I figured my wife was going to do it. It is. It's in the same chapter. So verses 25 says, I have heard what the prophet said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. And you know what? I learned something. I used to call him Baal, B-A-A-L. It's pronounced Baal, okay? The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell the dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat? So it's the verses prior to that verse that it speaks about that. And there is somewhere, maybe it's a little above that even, where it says, do not be afraid of him. Okay, if he tells the dream and it doesn't come to pass, do not be afraid of him. So it's in Jeremiah 23. But I think even what we just got, that's very clear. It says, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Okay. So if you go to Jeremiah 23 and there is another verse, actually, and it's very, very clear, even clearer than that. So just understand, prophets can prophesy false dreams, and therefore you need to know that it's a thus saith the Lord. And the Lord has made it very clear that if one does, do not be afraid of him. So I can say that Halkiff is a false prophet because he clearly made a powerful prediction that he was going to be translated. You will not find any predictions of such like that in the spirit of prophecy, my brothers and sisters. You will find that she might have had a dream, just like you can have a dream. You don't know the interpretation of that dream. God has to give you that interpretation. I had a dream last night, and I was talking to my wife about that dream last night, and we were discussing it. God does still give dreams, and that's probably, not probably, it's what inspired me to share these principles with you today. All right, dreams are subordinate to the word of God. What's the next principle? Dreams are sometimes symbolic. We're going to Genesis 41:32. The Bible says, and for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Well, you know the story. Pharaoh had two dreams. And that's why it was doubled twice, okay? And when you have a doubling, you had not just one cow, two cows. You're not just one ear of corn, two ears of corn. But that doubling of corn, and it was doubled twice, okay? And so, you know, the skinny corn ate up the fat corn. And there were seven of them. Seven skinny corn ate up seven fat corn, ears of corn. Seven skinny ears of corn ate seven fat ears of corn. Seven skinny cows ate up seven fat cows, okay, and they were still skinny after they ate them, all right? And so this is proof that sometimes dreams are symbolic. Because it was doubled twice, it had a symbolic meaning. That means it's established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. That's why, brothers and sisters, when you learn how to study the Bible from Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10, precept must be upon precept. It's doubled, precept upon precept. Then you have line upon line. It's doubled, line upon line. There's a doubling twice, okay? That means this method of Bible study is established by God, and you don't have to have a theology degree to understand it. it will shortly come to pass. You can understand it quickly. And that method teaches that everything God gave us in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is consistent. He's consistent in his teaching. God's not going to tell you up is that way and then tell you up is that way, okay? And then when you study line upon line, lines mean words, according to Psalm 19, and therefore you study the context of a scripture. Look above it. Look below it. Make sure you're understanding it in its context, okay? That doesn't mean a scripture can't have multiple applications, but you still relate to the context. You still study the context to make sure you're not twisting the word of God, okay? That's a beautiful concept there. All right. Dreams are sometimes symbolic. That's what we just learned. And now the next principle is dreams are sometimes literal. Let me read one to you in Matthew chapter 2. Verse 13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Okay, so Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. My brothers and my sisters, I am here to tell you that this was a literal dream. God told Joseph with Mary and little Jesus, go to Egypt because Herod is going to try to kill him. That's a literal dream. And God can give you literal dreams, brothers and sisters. He can give symbolic dreams. He can give literal dreams. You take it to the Lord in prayer and don't ever do anything that violates the Bible principles. Now, here's another principle. Dreams can correct wrong thinking. What can dreams do? Dreams can correct wrong thinking. We're reading the entire chapter of Acts 10. Let's read it together. There was a certain man of Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God alway. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. Now, it didn't say dream, it said vision, but the Bible told us in Numbers 12, if there's a prophet, he speaks in dreams and vision. So if you got a vision, which is basically some supernatural communication when you're awake, so to speak, and then a dream is that same supernatural communication, but you sleep. But it's the same concept, okay? He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. When he had looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms come up for a memorial before me, before God. And now send men unto Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, okay, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up unto the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while he made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, that's three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. What, verse 17 is very important. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what the vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing. For I have sent them. Then Peter went down to meet. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause whereof ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee unto his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them. And he called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Many people are dead, brothers and sisters, because they read Acts 10 and think they can eat pigs, possums, lizards, and llamas, and they are dead today because they won't follow the Bible health message. That chapter is not giving us permission to eat unclean meat. The chapter was to teach Peter that the prejudice he had learned from the rabbis, the prejudice that he had learned from the scribes and the Pharisees is not of God, and that he was not to call any man common or unclean, but God gave it symbolically as unclean animals, friends. Peter doubted. He didn't know what it meant. And then when he told us what it meant, it didn't say I can't call any pig common or unclean. It didn't say I can't call a possum common or unclean. It didn't say a lizard or a llama. It said I can't call any man common or unclean, brothers and sisters. And so dreams can be used to correct wrong thinking. Next principle, dreams can show our spiritual condition, and you are sometimes responsible, listen carefully, to decisions you make. You are responsible for decisions you make in your dream. All right, let's repeat that. Dreams can show your spiritual condition, and you are sometimes responsible for decisions you make in your dreams. 1 Kings chapter 3. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went unto Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer up on the altar. So, what did we learn from that? That's not really our topic, but God is not into us or wanting us to marry outside of our faith. Solomon made mistakes of this nature. Some of them didn't end up too bad because Pharaoh's daughter became converted. But this practice of getting wives from other nations is what caused Solomon to go into the licentiousness and debauchery and possibly homosexuality and other things or bisexuality that he ended up in. But he said it was all vanity and he came back to God, but he had hurt a lot of people in his frivolity, friends. And so those are some lessons there. But let's get back to the dream. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he hath walked before thee in truth. and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give, therefore, thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked life, the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment that was right from wrong. Behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Now, I want to pause. A lot of people think that means we can't have the wisdom that Solomon had. Well, that contradicts the Bible, because the Bible says, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. There was no king sitting on a throne, a monarchy, before Solomon or after Solomon that had the wisdom of Solomon. It's not saying God won't give this kind of wisdom to us. It's saying there would be no monarch before him and no monarch after him that would have the wisdom that Solomon had. Okay, let's just clear that up real quickly. And verse 13 says, and I have also given unto thee, which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. You see, it brings out kings. He said, with wisdom, there shall be nobody before you or after you. Then when he said, I'm going to also give you riches so that the kings won't be like you. No other king will be like you. So that is the principle that I'm basing that on. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. So everything we just read, brothers and sisters, Solomon was sawing logs. He was asleep. It was a dream. But he got a message from God. What do you want? Solomon said, Lord, you blessed me. You put me on the throne of my father. I don't know how to judge this people. He said that in his dream. But it was real, and it was the right decision in his dream. And he was responsible for his answer in his dream. Now, I don't have this as a principle, brothers and sisters, but sometimes because of this principle, you might find yourself in a dream in bed with somebody that's not your husband or your wife, and you did something you ought not do. It was a dream, and you're so thankful when you woke up, but you did something you ought not do. You should ask for forgiveness because it was real to you. But God is warning you, showing you, you are weak in this area, and you need to get stronger in this area, and you don't need to put yourself on the devil's ground in this area. And God is so merciful that he lets you have a dream, and you fail in your dream, brothers and sisters. And God is trying to tell you, guard yourself. Maybe in your dream you let some old boyfriend come over, and God said, don't let him come over anymore if when he knocks on your door. Don't let him in, because things happen that ought not happen. Maybe you could tell a little lie and get some money, and you told that lie to get that money in your dream, and God is warning you, telling you, listen, your heart's not right because you prize money more than integrity. Brothers and sisters, I refuse to be a Republican. I refuse to be a Democrat because they do not have integrity on the highest level. They're telling a lie when they say to you that if I'm a man and I marry a man, that's a constitutional right. The Constitution has no words in there that give license to sin. The Constitution doesn't protect sin and debauchery. And the Constitution does not support an insurrection. So there you have it, friends. I will not be a Democrat. I will not be a Republican. Jesus wouldn't either. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my children fight. When you put your vote to that man, you're voting for the policies of that party. So if you're a Democrat, you're supporting homosexuality, LGBTQIA, and everything else that comes along with it. And everybody knows that, you know, I saw a little documentary a little while ago, and it was talking about lesbian bars that were coming up in Oklahoma City. And on just regular YouTube television or whatever, it was showing some of those women in there were bare-breasted. That whole movement is a highly sexual, perverted movement, brothers and sisters. Ask people who've been to Mardi Gras. I'm not saying that everybody there is like that, but I'm saying that's the tendency of the movement. And so what I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters, is God loves them, but we've got to tell the truth. And we are bowing down because we want to vote. That's why the Democratic Party has embraced them, because they need that vote in order to beat the Republicans. The Republicans stand behind a man that incited a riot because they, not because he's a man of integrity, but because he won. You see, brothers and sisters, even though we've had slavery is gone, there's a lot of racial tension still in this country. Black people who don't like white people who don't like black people. So when that president came along and he said some things that was in people's hearts, a lot of people came on because they saw they had a hero. And they brought it. It brings out, it shows the prejudice. That prejudice is still in vogue in this country, brothers and sisters. Vice of prejudice, whether you're white or black, white to black to white to Latino, Latino to white, Latino to black to Latino, there is prejudice. And I'm here to tell you that if you don't overcome it, you're not going to heaven. That I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt. There's going to be black people there, white people there, Latino people there, Asian people there, because we're all grandchildren or the offspring of Adam and Eve, brothers and sisters. Some of us just settled near the equator, and so over time, the body adjusted and the genes adjusted, and so we began to be darker and our children darker. Some who moved further away from the equator, they needed the vitamin D that the sun, so little by little, they started making less melanin in their melanocytes. Those are the skin coloring cells. And so there's no difference between black people and white people, brothers and sisters. It's just that some of our ancestors were closer to the equator in the years past, and some were further from the equator. And so the body adjusted for its own survival. That's all it is. That's nothing more than that, my friends. And so we got to overcome all this foolish prejudice, brothers and sisters, because we're not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. All right. Let's get back to Solomon. And Solomon awoke, and it was a dream, and he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. Then came two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I am this woman, dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day, that after I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beneath me, while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is living. And the king said, bring me a sword.
And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, no, my lord. He said, oh, my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it neither be not mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. So, my brothers and sisters, all of this was a dream. It was decisions he made in his dream. Your dreams can show your spiritual condition, and you are sometimes responsible for the decisions you make in your dreams. That's our final topic, our final principle for this morning, brothers and sisters. If you'll just indulge me in that we have a couple of minutes, I would like to try to find that scripture regarding the principle. The one my wife gave is powerful. It does show the principle, but there is another one that I would like to find. And if you don't mind, I would like to see if I can find it as we have about 3 minutes left here. All righty. Well, doesn't look like I'm going to find it. So, because I thought it was in Jeremiah, but I thought it was different than the one that we gave you before. Let me look again here. Okay. One more thing, and if I can't find it with this, we will just retire it. We're going to have to retire it. Oh, I found it. It's not in Jeremiah. it's Deuteronomy 18:22. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. So that's our scripture. It was Deuteronomy 18:22, and that was when I was talking about God's word is more important than the dream. I don't know. Maybe I gave that to you already, but I don't think I did. Yeah. Dreams are to be subordinate to God's word. I gave you Jeremiah 23:28, and so now you can add to that Jeremiah 18:22, that if somebody speaks in a dream, from a dream, and they speak, if somebody claims to be a prophet and they speak in the name of the Lord, if it doesn't happen, then they're a false prophet. We already know that prophets get dreams, so that's how you make the connection. All right, God is good. Thank you for indulging me. At this time, I'm going to ask my wife if she'll have our closing prayer, and then we'll close out at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We ask that your spirit will continue to teach us the things we need to know as we study these things out for ourselves. We pray that you would bless every heart in a special way, and that you would be with everyone on this day, Lord. Help us to be productive, and let us always bring glory unto your holy name. And we do ask that you would heal us all spiritually, mentally, physically. And we pray for those that are in need of financial help. We ask that you will supply every need that you have promised, Lord. And we pray that we can trust you in all things, for you are the God who is, who hears and answers prayers, and who sees all. And we thank you, Lord, for letting us serve, honor, and worship you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Our closing song is, I Will Trust in the Lord. Before that, we would say, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Closing song at this time.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die.
I will walk with the Lord. I will walk.